Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Swetz of Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. I invite you to hear biblical preaching and God-centered worship every Sunday at 10 and 3:30 in the afternoon at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. You can find us at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. Our website is abbotsfordurc.org. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God.
Choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we're grateful for taking the time to tune in to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, always thankful for these great opportunities to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to you. Would like to update you a little bit as to some changes happening to Abounding Grace Radio and the times of our airing. As you know, we have been airing in the San Diego area and the Phoenix area. The Lord has opened up these opportunities for us, and we're very thankful for that. We find it to be a little bit more beneficial to move to the half-hour format. So here on KARI, we are going to move to 4:30 in the afternoon, from 4:30 to 5 on Abounding Grace Radio. We're not going off, Carrie. To all of our listeners who have supported us for all of these years, we are very grateful for your support. We're thankful for your letters and your financial support and just the encouragement that you have given to us. We can't express enough how thankful we are for you, but want to let you know that you can now tune in at 4:30, and if that time you are unavailable, you can always go to our website at agradio.org, and all of the programs will be there for you, free for download. So do please make that note. This will be our last week running it at the 8:30 time slot and the 2:45, actually at 2:45 and the 8:45, and we will be moving to 4:30 in the afternoon from 4:30 to 5. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we're going to look at Psalm 32, actually this week on Abounding Grace. And the beauty of Psalm 32 is that it is showing for us the wonderful forgiveness of the Lord. I begin with today, you know, the whole truth about history and what we say about history is that we should learn from those who have gone before us, that we would not repeat the very serious errors of those in history. That is true. The same is true when it comes to Christianity. We have a long history of saints who have come before us that have lived the Christian life, and they have a lot to tell us. One of the things that they tell us is that we should come to the Lord today. There's an urgency in coming to the Lord. We have a testimony before us in Psalm 32 of someone who has gone before us and learned this about the life of faith. He tells us very plainly about the pains that he experienced in refusing to come to the Lord. Do you come to the Lord? What does that look like? Maybe I should ask, well, what does not coming to the Lord look like? How many of you struggle with feeling that you have no strength to go on? How many here struggle listening today with depression? Are you experiencing the sense that God is against you? Do you ever get the sense that maybe he's abandoned you and you feel alone? Hey, he's a God of love, but I'm just not confident that he loves me. Do you struggle with his forgiveness? Do you seem to experience this heavy hand of the Lord pressing in on you and you don't understand why? Everyone here who has a sensitive conscience knows exactly what I'm describing. If not, this really won't matter to you today. Everything I've mentioned is exactly what David experienced and learned. And you see, the Lord inspired this psalm of the great King David that we would understand something about this life that we lead that we are often so confused about. What is set before you today in Psalm 32 is David's description of how awful the ongoing presence of sin in this life can be. And we really only have two ways that we can turn with regard to this problem. We can come to the Lord and know the freedom of His forgiveness, or we can run from Him. And we can experience all the emptiness and pain that sin brings. This psalm is telling us that the greatest blessing of this life is that God forgives our sin. Can you be sure of that? Are you forgiven? What does the Lord desire of us? Psalm 32 outlines this so beautifully. In fact, they say it was Augustine's favorite psalm. They say that before he died, he wrote the psalm on the wall next to his bed to meditate upon it better. Now, reflecting upon his life, if you know his life, this becomes all the more meaningful because a large portion of it had been lived in rebellion and in sexual immorality. And meditating on Psalm 32, he said this: "The beginning of knowledge is to know oneself to be a sinner." That is Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. David is the author, and he begins here by speaking of this beatitude of God. You'll notice in verse 10 at the end of the psalm that there is this opposite reality, that many sorrows are multiplied to the wicked. There really are two paths set before us in this psalm. There is the path of the wicked, and then there is the path of the blessed. And there's no doubt that the psalm is provoking us to ask, which path are you on? How do I know? I'm going to come back to verses 1 and 2, but I want you to see what David is doing in this psalm. In verses 3 through 5, he tells us how he came to understand this blessedness, and he gives us his own story. In other words, he goes back and he looks over his life and he provides it as a kind of case study for us to consider how he came to this kind of confidence and joy in life. Let me tell you about it. Whatever it was to walk the path of the wicked, whatever it was to go down the path of sin, I went for it. Verse 3 describes the painful reality that David tried to run from the Lord. And by this point, maybe you're thinking a little bit of Psalm 1, which says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the path of sin, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful." David is saying, "Let me tell you my story. I've got a story to tell you. I went through this very real season of rebellion in my life." In verse 5, he uses all three words to describe this awful path to give us a kind of comprehensive picture. He says, "I sinned," which means I departed from God in the worst sort of way. "There was iniquity," which means that I missed the mark, right? I mean, this is sin, iniquity, and transgression. All these three words mean to miss the mark, to depart from God, to do that which is crooked, twisted, and corrupt. So David is giving us this big picture. We know Psalm 51 was written immediately after his sin was exposed with the whole Bathsheba incident. And many take this psalm together with Psalm 51 as a psalm that was later written as he was able to consider the big picture and look at the big story. You remember the account. He had lusted after Bathsheba, watching her on the rooftop. And when he found out that she was married to Uriah the Hittite, he ordered to have him put on the front line and to be killed. With total indifference to his life, he said, "The sword, hey, devours one as well as the other." And then this king of Israel, the one who was to be the model of piety and godliness, takes Bathsheba as his wife and has a child with her. For months, there was no remorse. For a gasping period of time, at least 9 months. Here's the point. How could the king of Israel not seen what he had done? I mean, how do you miss that? You realize, dear listener, you could go for months, you could go for years, in what Hebrews says is the deceitfulness of sin. It says, "Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is powerful. Paul would describe it as the things that he didn't want to do, he kept on doing. This has the effect of hardening the heart. You know from Romans 1, there can be a point of no return. People can fall headlong into sin and get to the point of having no conscience in what they do. Ephesians 4 says that they are past feeling. Why is David doing this? Well, in these Psalms, he's not really discussing the sin itself. He's not like these guys who only want to tell us how bad their lives were before they came to Christ, and they actually end up glorifying their rebellion. It's not what he's doing. His goal, what he wants us to consider, is what his life was like in that time of rebellion. And he describes this for us in verse 3. When I kept silent, when I didn't come clean, when I didn't confess, my bones grew old, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. All my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. The Lord's hand, heavy hand, was upon me. What David is describing here is really powerful. David is basically saying that God did not let him rest in his sin. He was completely miserable in his sin. Isn't that something? Sin promises pleasure and enjoyment, and that's why we go after it. But here's the problem. Not only does it bring forth death in the end, but the whole time of running, God won't let any of his sheep find real satisfaction or peace in it. It's an amazing truth, isn't it? David says, I experienced this heavy hand of the Lord. You ever notice how many people who are believers live totally miserable lives? At times, you know what the Lord does? He inflicts the conscience, and we experience a real sense of God's divine displeasure. Calvin used to describe this as the inward torments that people would face. In fact, he described a mental kind of agony and such misery in the departure that it often brings madness in people. And as they inwardly devour the madness, it gets to a breaking point where they burst out in rage. What happens to the body? It's proven that things like unforgiveness waste away the body. Whatever the case, David is saying that this mercy of the Lord penetrated. As the Lord pursued him, it got right into his bones. He had no strength. He could go nowhere in the sin. He was totally miserable. This is the prodigal son. Takes the inheritance, runs the opposite direction, leaves his father's house who cared for him, went down until he came to the house of another man, became a slave, ended up in the pigsty eating the pods of the pigs until we read this little word, and he came to himself. What am I doing? I will return to my father. I will say I have sinned. This is what happens in the life of the sinner when he realizes the error of his way and he turns, he awakes. What have I been doing? Sin, dear listener, is totally destructive to your life. And if you flirt with it and play with it, you'll go headlong into it. Only the grace of God can pull you out. Where are you today? Have you confessed your sin? Have you come to the Lord? Do that this day while he may be found, and you will know his wonderful and powerful forgiveness. We're thankful you've taken the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. Please make a note that our times will change next week to 4:30 p.m. to 5 o'clock. We are so grateful to have these opportunities to bring the radio broadcast to you. Go to our website at agradio.org. We want to remind you that we are a listener-supported program, and we would be very thankful for any prayerful and financial support. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.